Okay, my friends, I know a lot of you are eagerly awaiting Daniel List, dark journalist. We all know and follow Daniel's work. He's extraordinary. The stories that he breaks and the research that he does is very compelling. Really, really a challenge. I'm just watching all of this swarming of Donald Trump Jr. I mean, talk about making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm taking off my glasses, but I can still see it. Oh, my God. It's just infuriating what they try to do to destroy this family. Because it's a wonderful family that's in office. There are a lot of amazing ways that they function so efficiently together for our benefit, for we the people. And so many just don't see it. It sails right over their heads because they are entrenched in believing lies and manipulation of divide and conquer, right? Aren't you supposed to hate everybody? Aren't you better than everybody else? Oh, my God. And they buy it, and they live it, and they breathe it, and they exist in fear, and it is a choice that they make. Don't make that same choice, my friends. Please. Recognize the responsibility that you have with the knowledge that you have researched and gained, and share it with others. Let others know, yeah, there are like-minded people. There are people that care deeply and want to make it better. So, all good. Okay, all good. So, okay, I just thought a friend had an emergency. Okay. Okay, my friends. I'm so sorry. That's a relief when you're worried about people. All right. So, we have these powers. We really do. And it's like, ooh, powers. But you know what? For all of you who think I'm crazy and say, oh, there goes Doc again, ranting and raving. But it's true. Wait until you try it. Wait until you find that one opportunity. I mean, it could be anywhere. You could just be, you know, shopping in Trader Joe's and see somebody that looks like they're having a terrible day and smile. Watch what happens. Watch what happens with that incredible resonance between conscious beings, a resonance that releases all these amazing feel-good neurotransmitters, hormones coursing through your bodies and making you alert, making you ready for experience, just feeling good, and the conversation begins and you find you have more in common than you do apart. So, where does that leave us? Something starts to not add up with the propaganda you've been fed, with the lies and manipulations of divide and conquer. Wait a second. How could we be talking when there's supposed to be so much hatred? Why are we enjoying these conversations and the people around us join in? I mean, Trader Joe's is wonderful like that. You know, you're talking to somebody and, you know, you just share information, keep moving or stop and have a bigger conversation. But we are social beings. So let's get back to that. Get back to the sharing and the caring and the support of each other and not looking for a nanny government to take care of everything. You look back 50 years ago, and you see societies in the United States, communities where religious groups, social groups, neighborhoods, neighbors reached out to help those that were in need. I mean, all levels of organization when families were going through hard times or illness or you name it. And that's as it should be. Nobody should be standing there and passing laws to not allow people to help other people, to not allow those who are able to provide food and shelter for those in need. This is insanity, which reminds me, I've got to check out a story that I was told at a Google, how to invest in Google, what can I say, heavy, hard sell experience, but that's for another time. I've already covered it. I don't know if we'll revisit it. But anyhow, my friends, there's so much that you do and that you don't realize, and it feels good. It feels good to connect with others. So I welcome your stories, your experiences. Keep them coming. Write to me at healthfreedomwrites.com. I answer everybody, and I so look forward to all of those emails where, you're right, it does feel good. And sometimes there's more conversation. But together we make it better, my friends. Together we can create miracles just with our sheer numbers. So you got to remember to keep the pressure on those who were put in office, 866-220-0044. With that pressure, let them know exactly what you want and demand written confirmation. After all, guys, we pay the taxes that pay their salaries, so they better well deliver on what they are requested. And if you want to get the attention of our president, get to Twitter and make your tweets go viral, and you have a good chance that they will be seen. And it's even better when you have others sharing them, you know, and just keep it going. Oh, my gosh, so now they're saying that there is a recording of the tarmac conversation by the NSA with Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. How interesting. Oh, well, we're not going to waste more time. I'm going to bring Dark Journalist on. He's got a lot to share with us. I thank you all for your contributions. 6 years and counting, you are an amazing audience, have kept Revolution Radio on the air, and therefore Event Horizons, and make it a win-win situation. We thank you for your support. We thank you for being there and knowing that we can count on you, as we have done for all this time. So, it's loading. I thought that would be one of the fastest connections yet. Are you there, Daniel?
I am here, Robin.
Well, you are a fast connection. Wow.
I've been called that before, yes.
Okay.
How are you?
Oh, running a race. I'm good. Thank you. It's just a whole lot of crazy. How are you? I mean, the stuff that I saw, I had to get in touch with you. I don't like seeing that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's crazy Corey Good and his gang for you. And it's interesting, actually. And I want to say, by the way, you're doing some fascinating reporting all about this deep state stuff. And I, you know, as you know, I spend a lot of time on the deep state. And it's Professor Scott, actually, who coined the term the deep state. And I always keep this phrase in mind. But when something came up around the secret space program, it became obvious that we had a little deep state of our own. So I developed a series around it, and it's called New Age Deep State. And it covers basically the manipulation of the UFO secret space program and New Age communities by these disinformation psyops and also marketing companies, which was the other kind of intriguing end about it. And as a result of this, you know, the Corey Good aspect, and Corey Good, of course, is someone who claims to be a time traveling astronaut who has showed up on the scene mostly through Gaia TV and David Wilcox's show. And so a number of developments have happened there, which we'll talk about today. But I think the main point behind the series and a lot of the reporting I'm doing is when stories are unvetted and there's no evidence behind them and people develop a cult and soak their followers for money, you know, we in independent research have to spotlight that. And when we do that, we get pushback from the likes of the people that are doing it. And the more pushback that they give, the more obvious it becomes what they're up to.
Oh, yes. Would you say that pushback, which is what I noticed, was trying to get you removed from being able to post your shows on YouTube?
Exactly.
You know, let's censor the opposition. They forget that that's a two-edged sword. It backfires.
Absolutely, yeah. And we see that's one of the dirtiest tricks of all. But this is the nature of the thing. You know, of course, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, these are core foundational beliefs in any media. And so Corey Good, he attempted to have episodes of the series removed. He got two episodes of the series removed using a frivolous privacy claim. He's a public figure. So, you know, how many videos out there are there about Corey Good talking to the blue avians and all the rest of it? So there's certainly no privacy violations in those videos. That was just a fake move because the information is damaging. Because what happened with Corey Good and his story really is that it started out as one thing. It's kind of like a MyLab-style story, which is, you know, what we've learned about Corey is he's very good at plagiarizing material. And we've seen a lot of copycat action coming out of there. So we had Bill Ryan from Project Avalon on the show for a three-part interview. And Ryan told us about the early development of Good's story because, in fact, Good came out on Ryan's Project Avalon. It was his first real venue to tell his story.
Excuse me, Daniel, because there's certain things I don't follow. And this not something I followed. Well, because, you know, there are food fights, and I've just observed a lot over the years, so I choose not to follow. And I don't comment either, because when you know the people, you know, what's the point? It's not, you know, necessary. But are you saying that it was Project Avalon and not Camelot that first interviewed Corey Good?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Camelot, there were early contacts there. But his first...
I remember.
Yeah. But his first actual video interview that came out publicly was with Avalon. So they know him quite well, actually, because he's a member there. And of course, that's Bill Ryan, who runs Avalon, and Carrie Cassidy, who runs Camelot. Carrie's come out with her own discussion online with Shane the Ruiner about the early development of Good Story and the inconsistencies there, and that's available online on YouTube, I guess, until Corey Good tries to go after it. But I think, basically, you know, his story, take it or leave it, it's another story out there, you know, but what happened was, there were a number of embellishments, and when I looked into it, what I found was that there was a marketing company behind it called Full Disclosure Now, which is a 3-year disclosure marketing cult. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they developed something called Corey's Kids, and Corey's Kids was a program where they'd put these young adults who were on YouTube out there, and they'd say, you know, get your secret space program gear here, and they tout them as experts, and they're actually listed as co-authors with Corey Good on a new book called The Secret Space Program. So this is the nature of the push, and it was very important for them to get young people involved. It was part of their marketing plan. And that marketing plan is run by Roger Ramsar, who was Corey's business partner. Now, no one really knew who Ramsar was until these reports came out. This is part of what they're so upset about, because the marketing plan is now out. And one of the fascinating parts of this is that they came up with programs and announced them at Contact in the Desert. One of the programs was actually counseling for people who would be upset by disclosure. And if you can only imagine Corey Good and his gang giving counseling to people, it's not a very pretty picture.
I mean, this is Margaret Mead, you know, redo. I mean, it's crazy. When you think of, what was it, the 118th Congress that had the presentation from the Brookings Report about the dangers of populations learning there are other forms of life, because look at what happened to the, you know, Aborigine cultures and other indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it cyclic that these things happen?
Well, I think it's absolutely true that we do see manipulation of these areas. And one of the things that I got into with the New Age Deep State series is that when you look at it, the UFO community got heavily infiltrated by CIA covert ops over time to distract the stories. And we know there were a lot of problems that came up with MJ-12 and all the rest of it. But when they move into the secret space program area, it was very interesting because it was so obvious. And this is one of the things that I really noted, excuse me, where basically I was hosting the Secret Space Program conference in 2015 in Austin, Texas, and we had Jim Mars and...
Oh, by the way, let me interrupt you.
Yes.
Jim called yesterday. Jim is doing so much.
Hey.
He is wowed by the prayers, by the love, the reaching out of everybody. Keep it coming, guys. Keep it coming. I mean... We're carrying him on this energy, this energetic cloud of love and goodwill, and he is getting better. So
wow,
isn't that exciting?
Well, This is the greatest news, because we need Jim, especially now.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, okay. in the throes of the biggest deep state battle in America that I've ever seen, we need Jim Mars out there, and I do hope his recovery is going great. That's great news.
Yeah, it's always good to share something good. Now, as an outsider, when I first became exposed to all of this and growing up reading science fiction, my perspective was different than others. You know, to me, this was all a given. I didn't need some government or an authority figure to tell me, oh, yes, there really is other life. But that's me. You know, I'm different. But what I watched going to these conferences, you know, they always tried to divert the whole conversation with some really extreme situation, event, experience that gets reported that just seems like overt crazy. So mm-hmm. people dismiss everything else along with it. So you mentioned Corey Good as being considered a time traveling astronaut.
Oh, yes.
So what about Basiago, who no one has heard from? I mean, William Stillings, I hear from time to time. And there's that other guy, I can't remember his name, that Carey interviewed extensively. That's not being heard from either. So Corey Good is the one that's been chosen to take over that area. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. Actually, if you listen to Basiago's interviews, he has a lot to say that is not very favorable about Good. But certainly there were a number of people in the kind of whistleblower space, and a lot of them came out through Carey and Bill on Camelot and Avalon. And I do feel like it's a very intriguing area, because it's kind of hit or miss. You know, you get great stuff like Bob Dean, and you get people like Corey Good. So there's a great gulf between those two. But Good in his story, from my exposure to it, and I've done a lot of research at this point. You know, right now, having dealt with him, it was one thing to hear people and whistleblowers in his company come forward, and I'll mention them, you know, Derek Faust, Annette O'Toole, and others, and they've come forward in the New Age Deep State series to tell us what's going on behind the scenes there. You know, they're launching a comic book, video games. I mean, this is a marketing promotion. They want Corey's kids to go out there and promote secret space program gear stores. They even have something called Disclosure Backpack, and this is a backpack to give to children.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You got to give them that.
The thing is, the real hardcore issue, I think, around the Good camp, having dealt with them, is it's a disingenuous movement, and they bully anyone who tries to come up against them or expose the 3-year disclosure marketing plan that Roger Ramsar, Corey's business partner, has outlined. And so Ramsar goes behind the scenes and gets the Corey kids to make all these negative videos about anyone who challenges their narrative. Doesn't work, actually. They get 10 times the attention. And Corey Good is, you know, a lot of people are starting to consider him radioactive, because he acts out in public. And even with trying to take my channel down, you know, his crazy ranting, saying to his followers, if 20 of you will go to DJ's YouTube and lie, basically, take the channel down, tell them it's, you know, this or it's that. So he's exhorting followers to lie and stuff. This is the kind of thing I think we shouldn't tolerate in independent media, independent research. And Richard Dolan, in fact, did an interview with Bill Ryan where he roundly called out Good and these people who come forward with unverifiable stories, and basically saying that they're campfire stories. And I think this is important. You know, where there's evidence, there's evidence. Where there's a story, even a good story. But if you don't have the evidence, then it's a little harder to take it seriously, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, the idea of censorship, people that are so intimidated by a differing opinion. I mean, the bottom line is, what you've got to do, make your case stronger. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Now, in this case, well, the whistleblowers from the company shared with me all these materials where they were getting bullied after the fact, saying, if you come forward, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, we'll make you look like an Illuminati agent. You know, you're going down, and that kind of stuff. I mean, these are the people we're talking about, Corey Good and Roger Ramsar. This is the type of tactics that they use. And, you know, until I experienced those tactics myself with them making legal threats, and those are public legal threats, And now with the latest push by Good to take my YouTube channel down, I said, well, you know, my series must be really hitting home, because once they try to take your videos down, you know you're over the target.
Yes.
And so that's how it goes in investigative journalism. But it's not an axe to grind with Corey Good. In fact, the series itself just presents publicly available facts on his story. There's no campaign against him. It's just he doesn't want the facts out. And I think that's a very important distinction, which is, you know, his story's been embellished. There's a lot of plagiarizing that's going on, and it's easily accessible. People like Cliff High have come out, and Cliff High does the internet bots, Alta reports. And he said, you know, I've been tracking these reports and doing my reports, and out of the nowhere, these guys started using my material. And I think him coming forward was really important. Linda Moulton Howe came forward, of course, saying that she was not associated and co-writing a book with Corey Good as they promoted At Contact in the Desert.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they had banners up all over the place with her name on it, and that's in the reports.
Oh, my
God. And the response by Corey and company first was, well, yes, she is. Yes, she is. And then later, well, it was a typo.
Wow.
You know, so this is the level that we're dealing with here. These are definitely unscrupulous marketing moves, and I was pointing that out in the series, and I still am. I'm on part 5 of part 6. The series has over 200,000 views. It's not going anywhere, regardless of the fact that they complained to YouTube and that they've taken two of the episodes down. They're all available at darkjournalist.com, and they're mirrored on other sites as well.
Well, that's a relief. You know, I mean, and that's the bottom line. To try to make something go away, we do have options for lots of backup. And this agenda that he's putting out there caught my attention. Got to be a lot of other people paying attention as well and wondering, why is this man so desperate?
Yeah. A lot of people are emailing me asking the same question. And even a lot of people who followed him previously are like, we had no idea this is what was going on, you know. And I get those thank you emails on a regular basis. You were talking about thank you emails earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting because if this was someone who wanted to be taken seriously, then they'd do something like take a polygraph or at least have a regression about his experience. In Corey Good's case, he claims regressions are invasive and he doesn't have to take them. It's just take my word for it. And, of course, this is promoted on Gaia TV and David Wilcock's show. So the thing is, you know, frankly, Wilcock can speculate and do whatever he wants with his show. That's fine. But when you take it out of the fantasy realm of his entertainment show and, you know, Corey Good's walking around saying he's a time-traveling astronaut at Contact in the Desert and trying to sell disclosure backpacks and, you know, having the Corey kids do promotion. I mean, a responsible independent media is not going to put up with that. And certainly.
I'm sorry, Daniel. It's a cartoon. What you're describing, this merchandising, marketing aspect, the company is absolutely brilliant. They mm-hmm. want to make as much as they can, and they've got a perfect market that will suck all of this up.
Yeah, but the problem is it ain't real. And, you know, so we have to get real about it too. I mean, can you imagine like a Linda Moulton Howe or a Stanton Friedman putting out comic books of their stuff or saying to their opposition and people who criticize the marketing techniques, you know what? Let's have our followers take their channels down. I mean, really think about the difference. I come from, as you come from, the real school of UFO experts, ufology, John Mack, Jim Mars, Linda Moulton Howe, these are quality people with something genuine to report. When basically a commercial operation slips in with some guy who's telling stories and tries to sell comic books to kids and video games, it's not going to fly. It's actually a miscalculation. So what they think is a brilliant move to sell this stuff isn't, because the UFO groups and the New Age community also don't like to be scammed. And I think that's an important thing to point out here.
Definitely, but there are people that go in fast and get out quick, you know, for the money, and it sounds like that's their agenda. You know, what bothers me is you being in their sights and trying to censor what we the people can know from your years of experience and your investigations. Now, that doesn't fly.
That's what it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I understand what you mean, that someone can go in. There is no law that says you can make up a story and sell UFO books about it. I do appreciate that. What's interesting is that anything that I put out in the series is publicly available. And the whistleblowers who came forward worked closely in the company, so they know a lot better than we do what's going on. And it's, you know, according to the whistleblowers, it's very unethical stuff. So, you know, I think there's a number of questions that need to be answered by the Full Disclosure Now people and Corey Good. And, you know, the tactics have reached a new pitch where they just are promoting a video now. You know, of course, Bill Ryan did this video interview with Richard Dolan, which is just burning up the internet because Dolan and Ryan are discussing why the Corey Good story has so many holes in it and what's behind it, etc. That's a very good interview. I suggest anyone pick up on it. But the thing is, interestingly enough, you know, they put up a video now, and they're promoting a video of video footage of Bill Ryan's house. So this is the level that they've sunk to and how dirty they want to go. They want to take video footage of Bill Ryan's house, call him an Illuminati agent, and basically, I mean, what kind of garbage is that in the independent media? We're not going to put up with that. And, you know, this is the level of things that we're seeing. But the more that they do this, the more they reveal who they really are. These aren't love and light New Agers as they portrayed themselves on Gaia TV and elsewhere. These are very dirty players. And we're seeing in their actions publicly that this is what they're up to. And frankly, I've experienced a little bit of it myself with them going after my channel and putting out negative videos about me and all the rest of it. And the truth is, if they were an honest group, they would have presented their facts in response. And so my own conclusion is that they're highly dishonest, and they're very worried that their scam is about to be revealed, or is actually already revealed.
I mean, it sounds like it. If they're desperate to try to shut you down and others and threaten Bill Ryan, you know, they just cut themselves off at their knees. They did it all to themselves by being so obvious in the lengths that they'll go to.
It's a bridge too far. You know, you're going to start taking video surveillance of someone's house and putting it online and promoting it. I mean, this is something that I think is despicable. It's called gang stalking online, and it's unethical. And trust me, the authorities are going to get involved when it comes to that video. So Corey Good and his gang, by doubling down on all this, it's kind of fascinating because his first appearance on Ancient Aliens was a week ago. And he's scheduled to be a speaker at MUFON in Las Vegas in just a week. And this is, you know, somebody who the UFO kind of group gave a chance to speak out and all the rest. And this is how he's used the opportunity to, you know, intimidate the whistleblowers from the company and the 3-year disclosure marketing cult that he's running, and to try to shut down critical journalistic opposition. Now, my own feeling from watching it is that Good came out with a particular story, and that people came in and around him and said, you know, you really need to add this and add that. It's a better marketing scheme. And these are the types of things we've observed. And I've put those details in the report because you can see how the story grows and grows. But I do think it's very dangerous in any case. Let's just take Corey Good as a case study. Somebody comes along, tells a big story, gets a marketing company behind them. They want to manipulate young adults into coming out and promoting them as experts when they're not. And, you know, taking over the secret space program narrative, which is a serious field of study. I mean, let's take a look at somebody like Gary McKinnon. Gary McKinnon was threatened with 75 years of prison time for revealing that there was a secret space program. Because by his own hacking, into NASA, he found lists of off-world officers. So that's a serious point of research, and that's why when I was doing the conference in 2015, we had Catherine Austin Fitz there, and she was talking about the missing trillions from the federal budget being diverted into a secondary space program, which was different from the public NASA one, where the budget had been slashed back to 1965 levels. So I think it is important that we were at this level. I remember that moment, that conference, I looked around and I was like, wow, Linda Moulton Howe, Jim Mars, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Joseph Farrell. this is the team that can solve this. And right into that timeline, we got the Corey Good fantasy narrative, and that got pushed by Gaia TV and became predominantly the name and idea around it. It became associated with him saying, boy, I just went to Antarctica and my tired, my legs are tired. I have ice on my boots. I mean, this is the level of silliness. So I asked a few questions in the series, like, you know, when you go to Antarctica, you have to get permits. There's a paper trail for what you do. Where is yours? And the answer was, you know, anyone who asks, that's an Illuminati agent coming to get me, you know. And he did a legal fundraiser. This is great. To prosecute people like me and like the whistleblowers who'd come out. He did a legal fundraiser from his own people to get them, to get these whistleblowers to shut up. I mean, this is pretty shameless action. And, there's a number of people who've come forward and just aren't buying it. It's really starting to smell. Now, Kevin Randall came out with a major article saying, you know, the Corey Good story is a bridge too far. Richard Dolan, of course, is on the record, and he just did a big interview with Bill Ryan about it, saying it's a campfire story, you know, let's move on. Jim Nichols, UFO author, UFO artist, who had originally come into this story because they had used his artwork for the book cover without asking him.
Oh, boy.
So he came out and said, you know, the Corey Good story, let's take a look at this. Linda Moulton Howe came out with a statement saying, I'm not associated with Ramsar or Corey Good. I'm not doing a book with them. They should not be using my name to promote anything.
And let's just say, let's turn this around. Who is associated with them? It seems like that's the short list. Is
yeah, well, that's a great point. Michael Sella is one of their co-authors, and he daily goes out, you know, doing the let's protect the Corey Good franchise, basically, with his articles. And that's too bad because, you know, some people have liked Sella's work in the past. And
I can interrupt you, I'm sorry, because it'll go right out of my head. Who owns this company that is selling and marketing all of the Corey Good stuff to all the kids? I mean, it's brilliant marketing. Who owns it? Who's behind it?
Roger Ramsar is Corey Good's business partner. He and Corey own the company.
Uh-oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, I don't want to
hear it. No, it's a great point though. That is a key factor. But see, what's interesting, if you track the story back as I did in New Age Deep State, Full Disclosure Now was the company that came on the scene last year. And nobody knew who these people were, but suddenly they were interested in Full Disclosure Now, and they were kind of creating these outlets like podcasts and all this other stuff. And it was all oriented around the marketing campaign. And I thought it was odd, you know, these guys only showed up basically a year ago. Like, what is all this? They're managing Corey Good. You know, they're doing these conferences. Who is behind it? And that's when I came across Ramsar's past, which Ramsar had stayed out of the spotlight completely until Contact in the Desert and, you know, Conscious Life Expo. He came forward calling himself Roger Richards or Emma Gold, depending on who you talked to. And so there was nobody seemed to know. Some people thought they were dealing with three different people. And so a number of people who worked with Ramsar came forward to me and said, look, you know, you're on the right track with your reports, and I can tell you why. And they gave me more details, and as soon as they started to do that, even before some of them were public, they were getting aggressive emails from Ramsar and Good. And this is the kind of stuff that I really object to. You know, it's one thing, as you were talking about, people have come out in alternative media and talked big stories, you know, whatever it happens to be, and you can believe it or not. But this is different. This is active manipulation and suppression. And I think we need to point it out because we're sitting ducks for it in the independent media if we're just going to allow somebody to wander into, you know, the space, start talking about experiences that are ridiculous, like, you know, he's an envoy for inner earth beings and he meets a princess. And, you know, I mean, it's getting really ridiculous.
Really? I've missed those. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
These are the latest installments, not making this stuff up. It's real. In the Antarctica, you know, he's inspecting giants at Antarctica just before he goes to Mars for a few weeks. Of course, you know, that should be kind of interesting. So But I think, you know, again, Corey Goodett, for me, it's a case study. You know, I have nothing personal against him. He does talk in such a fashion and going after the whistleblowers that have come forward. I don't approve of that. And people who do that, in my mind, are the lowest types. But speaking just from a journalistic level, you know, he and his story are one thing. There's no evidence. There's not even a regression or a lie detector test, because God knows if he tried one of those, it's not going to work out so well. So that's the nature of the thing. But they've built a cult around it. They've put these marketing forces together, and he's supposed to be in touch with blue avian aliens that are giving him, you know, he's their messenger for the world. So it's a cult. You know, they're talking about building a religion and all the rest of it. Michael Sala. Yeah. Sala did an article. What took him so long? Well, we all know what happened with Scientology.
Oh. Yeah, I was just going to say, we have Scientology, right? That's out of science fiction. Look at what we got.
Well, it is fascinating, though, because the reason I called it New Age Deep State is, if you look at the roots of the New Age, going back to the Theosophical Society or Anthroposophy and Rudolf Steiner's movement, Edgar Cayce, you know, these are core movements that brought real change. Things like yoga and meditation, reincarnation, all came out of these branches of thought and a lot of the spiritualism. So over time, I think these fields have been targeted by unscrupulous marketing campaigns. We know in the 90s there was a big New Age push and there was a crystal everywhere, right? So marketing companies see one kind of opportunity, but then intelligence agencies see another. They see the ability to divert the public from what's really happening. And trust me, when you get into the secret space program, you get more CIA infiltration of the story than almost anywhere.
That's their job.
It is their job.
Operation Mockingbird. That's their guideline. They are there to put out propaganda.
That's true.
I mean, really, I play these clips over and over about that, about Lindbergh. Talking about America First, all this stuff that people want to attack. Listen to the language. Even the founder of the John Birch Society called exactly what we're going through right now. So you don't agree with him. You don't like their position or whatever it might be. There's a lot of misinformation. How is he able to be spot on about what we're experiencing?
Mm-hmm. There's actually fantastic information when you have a historical perspective. And like you and I can look back and see how since the 50s, you know, if you look at it history wise, because we've studied the subject, that it's been manipulated. And, you know, they had the Space Brothers. This was one aspect of it. They try to set up things like Blue Beam to see how that would work. And they've done a number of ideas around aliens and how they can fit that into their narrative while suppressing the topic on the real side. But you get a millennial or someone younger, like a young adult, and they target very young adults. Like, you know, we're talking people who are barely adult. And
I'm surprised it's not coloring books, and not only for the snowflakes, but for kids in elementary school.
Well, the Disclosure Backpack is for kids, which I think was a big red flag for a lot of people. And it's strange. You know, I mean, a lot of the businesses that Corey Good and Ramsar, through the Full Disclosure Now and the 3-year marketing cult, have pushed are very unusual. You know, can you imagine setting up a counseling network for disclosure? I mean, you have to wonder the business opportunities that they're moving into, but it's also, you know, getting into kind of creepy territory, because, you know, we're going to have a counseling group set up by Corey Good, who has an unsubstantiated story about being a time traveling astronaut. I mean, things are getting pretty weird out there, folks.
It's kind of pharma-esque, you know, because they're telling people there'll be this condition if such and such happens, and they're in place to help you.
Exactly. And it's a 3-year disclosure marketing plan. What happens when 2020 shows up? There is no disclosure. These guys take off and they move on to their next marketing venture. I mean, you know, that's how they're planning it. But I would say this, that this one is unusual. And that's why I did the report on it. Because the New Age Deep State, you know, you mentioned people who have dramatic stories like Basiago or Randy Kramer or some of these other people. And that's one thing, you know, Billy Meyer had a wild story, as we know, but he had a lot of footage. He had a lot of evidence on his side believe it or not, you know, if it was a hoax or if it wasn't. He certainly presented a lot of material. In this case, there's nothing. There's no evidence. Zero. And even the people involved admit that. So it's, you know, it really is more about a sci-fi fantasy being portrayed as real. And that comes through the TV show with David Wilcock. And like I said, you know, I think at this point, Wilcock must be taking a look at a situation like this and saying, I don't know if this is worth it, you know, because I do my own research, I do my own speculations, and to have this person with no evidence dragging me down, it becomes a very different type of scenario. So well, it's one thing, yeah.
It's happened to David over and over.
Yes, yes, it's a good point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's out there trying to do his research, and of course they make David a target because he's got a big audience.
Yeah, well, I think
Doesn't
what happens...
Doesn't that sound familiar? Oh, a journalist, huh?
Exactly. What I tried to put some perspective on it is basically, you know, when you're running a TV show, it's a little different. And I think you can make allowances for a show, you know, so Cosmic Disclosure show, some things are going to be wild and off the charts and unprovable, whatever. But I think if you're going to start offering counseling to people because you're a time traveling astronaut, it's on a different level. And then when your story gets criticized, like let's imagine back in the day that a story that Linda Moulton Howe put forward got criticized. I mean, can we imagine for a second Linda Moulton Howe coming out and saying, you know, I will destroy the Illuminati and the Cabal agents and take their videos down. I mean, it's crazy. It's kind of David Koresh-y. I mean, that's the vibe that I'm getting, which is it's going into more of a cult place, and I really don't approve. We've certainly had bad moments like that in ufology, like Heaven's Gate, for example. We don't need cults. Yeah. This isn't about religion. Secret space program's not a religion. It's a research field. And we don't need a cult around it. You know, UFOs is a research thing. I don't need a new spirituality from UFOs. I got enough spirituality as it is.
I can see a pattern here and recognize a progression because you know what the next stage would be? Time traveler, you can have special consultations and know how to deal with the coming changes with the
market. Right.
You know, that's the next big one, so I'm putting it out here. Let's see how many pop up with it now.
Well, I definitely think that the business initiative stuff was particularly interesting because, you know, instead of doing posts like, you know, we're getting a breakthrough in this UFO case, so we're getting a breakthrough on the secret space program, classified documents. They put up posts like, I'm going to meet the senior VP of a comic book company in Hollywood, you know. I mean, so this is the level we're talking about, you know. It's a marketing movement, and it's a story, it's about as shaky a story as you can get. If somebody came up to you on the street and told you this story, you'd call the guys with the straitjacket immediately. I mean, it is not... It's not a provable story. And, you know, we have a great tradition of people like Whitley Strieber or John Mack, Linda Moulton Howe, talking to people who've experienced fantastic things. And these people are really trying to deal with their experience of having been abducted, dealt with a UFO, a sighting, it's in their family or whatever. You know, that's a very kind of serious situation. UFOs are real. The secret space program's real. When people come out and hoaxes come out and questionable characters come out and they're trying to make a buck, and then they get aggressive when they're exposed, the independent media has to double down and say, you know what? We've had a real good tradition around UFOs. We've had a real good tradition around New Age ideas and the secret space program research. We're not going to let it get trashed by hucksters. And I think as we get more into this, with the more tactics that they pull, they're exposing themselves as exactly that. And I think this is where the independent media needs to stand up and say, you know what, we've got a better tradition than this. We're moving on.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, how many do take those stands? You know, how many cave into being threatened? It's hard when there's a unified front that gives them a little bit more courage.
It does. It does. There's no question about it. And I think, honestly, my reports in New Age Deep State were a breakthrough. And really, the interviews with Ryan and some of the things that were coming out around good, you know, this information questioning good has been out there for the past year and a half or so. But it wasn't being... There was a kind of a stand down going on about it, like, oh, it's over there. It's on some fantasy show on Gaia TV. Who cares? But I think when it moved into, you know, the secret space program, gear stores, Corey's kids and backpacks for kids, disclosure backpacks. And, you know, this whole edge of thing, then alarm bells went off. Alarm bells went off for me. And I can tell you, as I've done the series progressively, those bells have gotten louder because. Yeah. I thought the same way, kind of like, oh, well, it's some crazy story over there. Who cares? Let people believe it if they want to. But I didn't realize how manipulated the entire topic and the whole marketing campaign behind it was. And finding people like Joseph Farrell and Cliff High who were telling me, look, they're recycling my material into their reports and into their stories. I mean, you know, this is serious business. And as a responsible journalist, you know, if I go out after people on one hand and the government forces and the deep state forces going after Trump and a lot of his agenda or, you know, trying to suppress information around different people, when it comes into your backyard, like the New Age field or the UFO field or the secret space program field, we really have to pay attention because, you know, that's important. And if these areas that have brought so much transparency to government programs that are really largely based on heavy-duty secrecy around these topics, if this marketing company, you know, and maybe there is a dynamic in there which you could call disinformation psyops that are pushing it because they like it, and, you know, it takes attention off the real deal. And when we get into those types of fields, we realize we need transparency on the high level when you're dealing with political circumstances and the deep state attacks there in the media, but we also need it on the ground. And UFO conferences, secret space program research, New Age communities, they need the real facts too. So that's what the series has been all about. And we're up to 5 episodes of 6. And, you know, the 6th one is coming out. And I'll tell you, it's going to include all of this additional harassment of Bill Ryan by the 3-year disclosure marketing cult run by Corey Good.
Wow, what a tangled web they weave, you know? Really disappointing.
It is, yeah.
You find this in all groups, this everybody attacking someone else. They're the only ones with the real answer, real information, the real research. You know, people, I try to talk about this every day. People have got to do their due diligence. You've got to do your research. You've got to be responsible.
Well, this is the thing, and it is. It does come down to the individuals dealing and not being manipulated by the cult because you have the knowledge, you have the awareness, you have the facts. There will always be groups around to harvest people's money, time, and energy. By the way, a lot of the people who work for this company don't get paid. That's also another big feature that we noticed. And some of them write to me emails basically saying, you know, bragging about the fact that, hey, you know, I've worked for 2 years for free for these guys. It's like, that's not something to brag about.
don't rub that in, please.
It's like, you know, do something for your own life. You know, these kids are in their 20s, living in their parents' basement. You know, you're not ready for disclosure. You need a real job. You don't need to waste your time with this cult, you know. So I think that's an important thing to put out there. But it does come down to individual choices around it and individual awareness. But I would say that this group is particularly good at manipulating the narrative, and reports like mine, interviews like what we're doing right now, but interviews with Richard Dolan, articles from Kevin Randall, Jim Nichols, Linda Moulton Howe. I mean, these are a lot of people raising red flags around the whole cult aspect of the Blue Avians and Corey Good. And I think it's important, really, to bring the transparency there because there's something very wrong with this movement.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line for me, because I haven't followed it, I haven't followed the Blue Avians, there's always something. There was a plethora of life forms and different types and, you know, with all that I read growing up. So there are no real surprises, but it's just, you know, it's just such a obvious flag when somebody is trying to tear down someone else's work and get them censored. I mean, that's desperation.
It is. It is.
You know, and that is not right. And that, you know, everybody listening, you can't allow that. Because if they're going to censor Daniel, they're going to censor someone else. They're going to censor me. They're going to censor anybody. Because
yeah.
They get together enough people to say, well, they offended or whatever nonsense they make up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, can you imagine having the audacity to, you know, say that Linda Moulton Howe is writing a book with you and she's not? I mean, it was kind of, think about that.
I can imagine, because when I was first with Richard and I had said to him, you know, gee, I saw something online. I didn't know, you know, we're going to be at this conference. He said, we're not. They just used my name, you know, or that there's a video project with Richard Hoagland. And it's I didn't hear anything about this. When did you, you know, make plans? I didn't. It's not happening.
Richard has seen it all, as we know. He's been through the – well, here's what's a fascinating thing. When you get into real secret space program research, Richard is the very foundation with the Dark Mission book.
Yeah.
That's 1995. That's probably one of the main factors that spurred somebody like McKinnon to go and research it to the level he did and to bring more of those facts to light. So
talking about Monuments of Mars, that was the earlier book. And then
That book was great too, but I particularly feel like Dark Mission and
space, definitely. That was the goal.
It was fascinating. It's a great book. And Dark Mission, the updated version, is an absolute must, because that version is so timely. Because it has all the new information in it as well. I forget, I think he put it out in 2013, but that is a great update. But really, you know, Richard's work is right in there with the main. He was in the original Secret Space Program Conference in 2011 in, I think, Amsterdam?
Yeah, we were there.
You remember.
I remember. We had a great time. You know what the best time for me was? After the event on Sunday night, when we went back to the hotel and I told everybody, don't worry, because everything was closed, we'll make you breakfast. And I had Lana and Henrik Palmgren and we were in the kitchen we made breakfast for everybody. It was fabulous. The information was great, but that was just something so remarkable that the hotel let us do that. You know, it was wonderful.
You were like, I remember the breakfast. This is what was really going.
So cool, because, you know, when people think, oh, you won't be able to, you know, it's like, oh, don't tell me that. But now there was great information.
It was. Well, I think it kicked off a whole wave, and those conferences were very important, the early ones. By the time we got to the 2015 conference in Austin, I think, like I said, that was a real pinnacle point for this research. It's gone downhill with the addition of all these bizarre stories and people coming forward and saying, you know, I'm an inner Earth princess or whatever it is. But, you know, so.
Simone, what did you do?
You know, that's very nice. You know, be happy with your story. But, you know, I really feel like. When you get right down to it, a topic like the secret space program, you have to dig hard to get any real answers. And you need real people like Fitz, who ran a federal budget at HUD, you know, like Linda Moulton Howe, who can talk about these things. And like you, I mean, look at the extent of experiential research that you have. And then somebody comes along and says, well, you know, I'm going to Mars on a weekly basis, but I have no evidence. You know, I mean, It's a very different world, and frankly, I think it's definitely one of the worst developments. And I think that the good story is probably the lowest moment in secret space program ufology. I think it's scraping the bottom.
I agree, but they sure gave him a great name. How good can it be?
Well, of course, that's not even really his real name, but we'll get into that some other time.
I'm not surprised. I mean, good for marketing. Really. Daniel, anytime you need, you are welcome, my friend. You know, and we will be following these efforts to do these.
Robin, you've been very gracious. Thank you.
My pleasure. Guys, that is what you heard. Sounds